Lord, it's different with us as earthly fathers, where we do struggle, and even though sometimes we know the right, we choose the wrong. But we also know it's true that our children sometimes choose the wrong even when they know the right. And Lord, we are just so conscious of our need of you, of our need of you to be part of everything that we do. And we just commit ourselves now as we hear from your word on this subject, and just open our hearts, Lord, to listen and to heed it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, being fathers is not just about raising children, although that's obviously what we think about mainly. For those of us who have children who are almost beyond our influence, the concept of fatherhood remains. For those of us who do not have children, the concept of fatherhood remains, because as fathers, we have a mentoring role for those who are with us, who need our mentoring. So what I'm saying is not just for fathers with biological children. It's about what we can all do. And although we're talking really fathers, because it's Father's Day, what I'm saying is equally applicable to parents, to mothers as well. Just a few verses from Colossians chapter 3. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And here's a verse that I want to concentrate on. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Martin Luther was a remarkable man. He was a man who was born in Germany during 1548. His father was Hans. His mother was Margarita. Hans was a peasant, but he rose from being a peasant to owning a copper mine. And he wanted that to be the foundation from which Martin rose. And so he wanted him to have more. And so he sent him to university. Martin was a brilliant man, and he earned his bachelor's degree in a year. And he was well set on his way, under his father's instruction, to becoming a lawyer. One day he was facing a near-death experience, and terrified, Martin cried out to the saints for help. He was Catholic. So of course he would cry out to the saints. And he promised them that if they would spare his life, he would become a monk. Well, his life was spared, and reluctantly, Martin Luther became a monk. It was while studying theology that Martin started to understand the great truths of the Bible. And as he understood the truths of the Bible, he single-handedly took on the excesses and the theological inaccuracies that the Catholic Church were propagating. And so there he was, standing by himself against the Catholic Church. He was a giant of a theologian. He had a giant of an intellect. He was a prime mover in the Reformation. He's part of the reason today why you and I aren't spending money in the church to guarantee our salvation. Martin Luther was part of that. But all that notwithstanding, Martin Luther always found it difficult to pray, "Our Father." You see, although his father Hans loved his son, wanted the best for his son, Hans was a terribly stern man, terribly stern on his son. Therefore, all his life, Martin associated father with nothing but severity. And so Hans had never taken our text to heart. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. John Newton is best known for his wonderful, wonderful song, Amazing Grace. If we know a little bit more about him, we know how God's love reached down to this man when he was a slave trader. We know how that song, Amazing Grace, was born out of a knowledge of God the Father's love for him. And that was important, a miracle really. You see, John Newton had made the following statement: "I know that my father loved me, but he did not seem to wish me to know it. I know my father loved me, but he did not seem to wish me to see it." He found it difficult to put love and father in the same sentence. Often we find those who are more conscientious as parents to be more likely that we will be correcting and admonishing and rebuking our children. In our desire for the best for our child, we tend to sit on our child until they end up like a lady with the name of Mary Lamb. She lived in the late 1700s, early 1800s. She was a writer and a good writer. She was well associated with people like William Wordsworth, like Samuel Taylor Coleridge. So she was, in her own right, a good writer. And yet she cried out, "Why is that I never seem to be able to do anything to please my mother?" Fathers, parents really, can be a black hole. Our children often find themselves in a position where they feel they can never do anything right. They feel they can never do anything to please us. No matter what they do, it all just gets absorbed into this great black hole, and that leads to discouragement. Big time. Paul is writing about families. And in our verse, he makes a statement to which we as parents should give our attention. Fathers or parents, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. It speaks of fathers, but as I've said, it is obviously referring to parents. And yet, being Father's Day, I want to address this to fathers. Fathers, do not embitter. The word has the idea of provoking or coming down too hard on your children. The word has the idea of provoking a reaction, that things that we as parents do bring out a response in our children. Parents, fathers, do not behave in such a way as to provoke a certain negative response in your children. Why mustn't we do that? Or they will become discouraged, disheartened, dispirited. It comes from a strong word, that word discourage. It has the idea, it comes from the word which has the idea of passion, of strong desire, of being vigorous. Fathers, do not behave in such a way that your children lose their passion. Do not behave in such a way that they lose their lust for life, that they lose their energy. Do not behave in such a way that, like Martin Luther, they are unable to call God Father because of all the negative associations of sternness and harshness. Do not behave in such a way that, like John Newton, they lose their motivation because they have no idea that we love them. Do not behave in such a way that, like Mary Lamb, they lose their passion, believing they will never amount to much. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Let's put that positively. Fathers, behave in such a way towards your children that they will become encouraged, that they will become passionate, that they will be energized. Fathers, relate to your children in such a way that they want to respond by doing their best, by being their best, by giving their best. Sadly, none of us will do that properly. None of us will do that perfectly. Realistically, all of us will fail in some way. And you know what? It's okay to fail. We are, after all, frail human beings. Not that we use that as an excuse. But if we have this idea of perfection, we will be immobilized with anxiety. We will berate ourselves harshly when we do fail. But what is required of us is that we understand the big picture, to understand what it is we are trying to achieve, to understand what we are trying to avoid, to understand what we are committed to, and to recommit to that each day. It's like buying unit trusts. Unit trusts are a longer-term investment, and what we are interested in is the overall trend, that it has an upward trend. Then, when the market spikes or the market falls, we don't run for the nearest tall building. We just us watching to see that the trend is upwards. I think parenting is like that. If we commit ourselves to the big picture, knowing what we are trying to achieve, and we know that our trend is towards accomplishing that, we can live with our mistakes. We don't want to embitter our children, which will leave them discouraged. We want to behave towards them in such a way that encourages them. And fathers, that is our commitment, and there is help. We have a model. We can model ourselves on God the Father. And before we even open the pages of Scripture for help and understanding in our model, we can just look around us in creation and learn some things about our Heavenly Father, things that creation tell us about Him. We can look at underground caves that have this drop just to get in to the cave. We can look and stand on a cliff and see the wild pounding waves hurling themselves against the cliffs. We can look at the Amazon anaconda and see them lurking there in the wetlands. We can look at a great white shark breaching with a seal in its mouth. We can look at the snow-covered tip of Mount Everest rising 8,840 meters into the air. We can go to North America and see those giant sequoia trees. Or we can look at the hooded cobra rearing to strike. Or we can see the rivers hurling themselves down over the rocks and precipices. And with very little imagination, based simply on what we see about God in His creation, we can deduce some things about God. And we can deduce particularly this, that our Heavenly Father is not tame. He's not safe. He's not predictable. That God won't be boxed. We can learn that about God without even opening Scripture. And guess what? We are created in the image of our God. And you know what that means? It means that somewhere within each one of us, we have some of our Heavenly Father's adventurous nature. And we would do well as fathers to explore that part of our nature and let it be seen by our children. We see that adventurous nature coming through in the way our Heavenly Father operates towards His children. We sung about Father Abraham just now. Look at the story of Abraham. God is a father. Abraham is a son. God has a plan, and God is going to be using Abraham, and God is committed to accomplishing His plan, but God is also committed to growing Abraham as a person, and God the Father could only grow Abraham by introducing discomfort into Abraham's life, and God the Father is willing to do that. And so we see in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, God the Father speaks to Abraham, his son, and He says to him, Abraham, I have a place for you to go, but I want you to trust me. I'm not even going to tell you where this place is, or how far away it is, or how you're going to get there. I simply want you to set out on this adventure. The unwritten subtext is this: I believe you can do it, Abraham. I wouldn't have asked you to go if I didn't believe that. Of course, I will be with you and I will help you, but I'm entrusting you with this quest. Launch into the unknown. My guess is that child welfare would be all over us if we did something like that. But here's the thing. Abraham rose to the challenge. Oh, he failed. I mean, epic failure. Not once, but several times. And what did God the Father do? He didn't keep him from failure. He allowed the failures and helped him through the failures. And Abraham was allowed to grow because of those failures. Fathers, let's stretch our children. Let's trust our children. Let's allow them to make the mistakes and grow through the mistakes. It's our job to keep them safe. And then we can turn to a story like the story of Noah. God is a father. Noah is a son. God has an important plan, and God is committed to accomplishing His plan. But God needs someone whom He can trust. and he lets Noah know that he trusts him. In the biblical account, rather than in the movie account, Noah does really well. I mean, building an ark on dry land, far from everything, he doesn't. Of course, in the end, he does fail somewhat. But what we know is this. The Father allowed Noah to go through some really harrowing experience. That the Father took Noah right out of his comfort zone. Of course, the Father was always there, but Noah learned to trust. And by being thrust out of his comfort zone, a father did that to his son. Here's one more story, the story of Jonah. I mentioned earlier that God is neither safe, nor tame, nor predictable. And this story highlights that in a particular way. Jonah says, God, I have a job for you. No way, says Jonah. And Jonah runs in the opposite direction. But the father catches up with him, puts him through a dangerous storm on a boat, has him thrown overboard into this dangerous storm, has him swallowed by a big fish. Talk about child welfare material. And yet, at no time was his heavenly father uninvolved. At no time was he uninvolved. And Jonah grew, and God's mission was accomplished. Fathers, don't we want to relate to our children in such a way that they want to respond by doing their best, by being their best, by giving their best? Don't we want to relate to our children in such a way that facilitates energy and passion, even an adventurous spirit? And in case you're wondering, parent isn't an exact science. Many wonderful parents have wept as their children have gone off the rails. Many rotten parents have had children who flourish. Can you remember the testimony just 3 weeks ago of Andre de Villiers, of his own life, how the Lord touched him, of the life of his son? There are no guarantees in this business, but we have the Father as our model. We are not left without guidelines. And as I look at these three stories, I see some guidelines. I see an involved father. And I don't think that any of us can avoid that one. We need to be involved. We need to show an interest. God, the Father, commissioned all three, Abraham, Noah, and Jonah. He sent them off, but he didn't leave them. He remained involved in their lives. He remained interested in their lives. He trusted them to do something and then didn't micromanage them. At no time did God the Father not know what those he commissioned were up to. He needed to know so he could keep them safe, so that he could grow them through their failures. Not only do you see God as an involved father, I see God as a father who believed in his children. If we ask a son or daughter to do something, but then constantly take it away when we see them battling, we are sending a message. We are saying, you are incompetent. Let me do it. Involved, believing in our children. I also see a father who allows his children to fail. Twice, Abraham tried to palm his wife off as his sister to save his own life. Then he had a son by the maid of, their servant. Why? Because he lost faith in God. No, God didn't need that failure, nor did he want it. But when failure happened, the father used that to grow the person. And in the end, the Bible tells us God called Abraham his friend. Children will fail. Don't alienate them. Help them back. Help them learn through their failures. David, the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. But David was also well known for his sin with Bathsheba. Did God need that sin? Of course not. Did God give up on David because he had sinned? Of course not. God worked with David, and the record showed David was called a man after God's own heart. Our children will fail. Don't alienate them. Help them back. Let them learn from their failure. But yes, the most important thing I see, not only from those stories, but from God the Father's pattern throughout the Bible. God was involved in the lives of those characters for two reasons. Firstly, God was making it possible for all of us to know Him. And secondly, God was revealing Himself to those characters. And that, fathers, is our most important responsibility. By our teaching and our example, to introduce our children to the Father through Jesus Christ, we have been given the responsibility of being priests in the home. Let me repeat this. It's not an exact science. We can do the right things and our children can end up making bad choices. We can do the wrong things and our children can end up making the right choices. But let us also remember, we are frail and we are fallen human beings. We are going to lose our tempers. We are going to say hurtful things to our children. We are going to discipline inappropriately. It will happen. But parental failures in the context of an overall loving relationship are not terminal failures. And by the way, certainly to the best of my knowledge, a parent has never died when they apologize to a son or daughter for doing something inappropriate. You know, I'm really sorry. I blew that one. I'll try not to let it happen again. You can do that. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Rather, fathers, let us stand up and be fathers. Let us be fathers who reflect the adventurous nature of our heavenly fathers. Fathers, let us claim back our God-given position in the home, a position we may have allowed work or sport or social relationships to usurp. Let's be fathers involved with our children, believing in our children, standing by them when they fail. And I'm going to finish this message by showing you a video clip from a movie, Courageous. Many of us will have seen this movie, but it just shows in a most moving way the responsibility which we as fathers have in the home. And I'm hoping that as you look at it, you will also feel the need to recommit to this holy calling of being fathers. Thank you, Belinda.
Teach them about God. He should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect. He should call out his children to become responsible men and women who live their lives for what matters in eternity. Some men will hear this and mock it or ignore it. But I tell you that as a father, you are accountable to God for the position of influence He has given you. You can't fall asleep at the wheel, only to wake up one day and realize that your job or your hobbies have no eternal value, but the souls of your children do. Some men will hear this and agree with it, but have no resolve to live it out. Instead, they will live for themselves and waste the opportunity to leave a godly legacy for the next generation. But there are some men who, regardless of the mistakes we've made in the past, regardless of what our fathers did not do for us, will give the strength of our arms and the rest of our days to loving God with all that we are, and to teach our children to do the same, and whenever possible, to love and mentor others who have no father in their lives, but who desperately need help and direction. And we are inviting any man whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In my home, the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide my family, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach my son to follow Christ, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting my family? I will. Who will ask God to break the chain of destructive patterns in my family's history? I will. Who will pray for and bless my children to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? I am their father. I will. I accept this responsibility, and it is my privilege to embrace it. I want the favor of God and His blessing on my home. Any good man does. So where are you, men of courage? Where are you, fathers who fear the Lord? It's time to rise up and answer the call that God has given to you, and to say, I will.